Perek Aleph Mishnah Tes. Makifin Shlosha Chavalim. If you have a camp, which is camping in the valley, and they want to make a fence in the valley to give themselves an Erev for Shabbos, in order to carry on Shabbos, it's permitted for them to make this Erev out of three ropes. And what they would do is they would place the three ropes, Zeh Lemaila Mizeh, Vzeh Lemaila Mizeh. They would take, you know, pegs, stick it into the ground, and then they would make three layers of ropes, going, you know, around their encampment. Ubelvad, Shelo Yehe Bein Chevel Lachavero Shlosh Tvachim. But as long as you don't have between each rope a space of three Tvachim, three hand breaths. What does this mean? Sharavachim Bein Chevel, the space between each rope, Bein Chevel Atachton Lemtzai, between the bottom rope and the middle, Ubein Hemtzai Le'elyon, between the middle one and the top, V'chein, the space between the bottom one and the ground, each one should have a space of three tefachim minus a drop, minus a mashahu, meaning just less than three tefachim. And this would be deemed a full mechitza, because there's a concept called lavad, that if you have a space which is less than three tefachim in the area, we look at it as if it's closed off and it's sealed. This mechitza is called the mechitza shel arev, a mechitza of arev. So the idea is like this. There's a concept called lavad. It's a halacha l'moshe misinai. It was given to Moshe at Har Sinai. And the rule is that whenever you have a space less than three tefachim wide, we look at it as if it's sealed. So if you have three ropes coming from the ground, from ground to rope, then rope to rope, then rope to rope, and within each space is less than three tefachim, we look at that entire area as if it's one sealed off area. So now you have nine tefachim, right? Total 3, 6, 9 minus a drop from each one. So 9 minus 3 drops. So you still have to get till 10 though. How do you get till 10? So shir chavalim ve'avyan, you take the actual rope, and if you make sure that the thickness of the rope, all the ropes together, would be yotir al tefach, a drop more than a tefach. So now you'll have a total of 10 tefachim. Kadesh yakol asar tefachim. That everything should be 10 tefachim now, because you have three spaces of less than, you have three spaces of three tefachim minus a drop. So you have 9 minus a drop. Then you throw in the width of the ropes all together, if there could be a tefach and a drop. So 9 minus a drop, plus one tefach plus a drop would equal 10 total, and then you'll have a complete 10 tefachim tall erev, and that would permit them to carry within their that domain on Shabbos. And this is the concept of lavad. Okay, Mishnah Yud, makifin bekanim. So now we discuss ropes. We discuss reeds. You can make a camp that's camping in a valley, and they want to make an erev in order to permit for them to be carrying on Shabbos. It's permitted for them to make a wall of reeds. How would they do that? They would stick the reeds into the ground, and the reeds were 10 tefachim tall, okay? So you have a bunch of reeds stuck into the ground that are 10 tefachim tall, and then there's constant space between all the reeds. So now what's he going to do? Make sure that between each reed, right, before we were going up, the ropes were, you know, tied in circles, and we're going from rope to rope, going up on like a ladder. Now we're going really across. You have all these reeds stuck into the ground, and then from reed to reed, you have less than three tefachim. Again, we look at it as if all the reeds are sealed, and then you can carry within that area. And what's interesting to note here is that even if it's parts ruba la'amid, there are more breaches than actual walls. You could have, you know, let's just say 20 reeds in the ground, but you have, you know, 21 breaches. We had learned earlier that there's more breaches than wall, so that it's not a good Erev. Here, since you have lavad making the breaches, if they're sealed, even if there's more breaches than the wall, there's more parts than the amud, then it's actually going to be permitted because the concept of lavad makes it as if it's sealed. It's an important note to keep in mind here. Okay. Now, Bishayara Dibru says the Tanakama, that this is all by a group of travelers in encampment. That was Chachamim permitted this mechitza, we call it of arev, of ropes, in the previous Mishnah, or shasi of kinim, of the kanim, of the reeds. So arev is the rope arev in the previous Mishnah, shasi is the reed Erev of this Mishnah, they only permitted that with an encampment. And the encampment, this group of travelers is going to be at least three people. Okay. Bashir Dibru. I'm sorry, this is not the Tanakh, but this is Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, only by a Shayara, a group of travelers, of three people, did they permit these two types of Erevs. Only here they were lenient. Whereas a Yachid, an individual, who wants to make this kind of Erev for himself in a valley, he'd have to make a Erev of both rope and reeds. He can't just do rope or reed. He'd have to have both. So this heter is only for a caravan of at least three people. If it's an individual, he can't do rope or reed. He has to do rope and reed. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say, Lo dibur b'shiara ela b'hovah, that no, this group of travelers was only mentioned as, you know, as an example. Because the derech was that the travelers would make these types of, you know, Erevs, and they could do either rope or reeds. But the truth is that not just for a group of travelers of three people, that they permit rope or reed, but even one individual can make an Erev out of rope or reed and does not need both. Okay, so debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Next. Kol mechita she'ena shel shasi v'shel Erev, any mechita which is not of shasi and Erev, meaning together, rope and reed together, ena mechitza, it's not going to be deemed a mechitza. Afilu b'shiara, even for a group of travelers, it's not a mechitza. Divi Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yosi argues on his father Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda permitted a group of travelers, a mechitza of either rope or reed, shasi or arev. Whereas his son Rabbi Yosi holds that even by a group of travelers, shafil b'shayara, he requires shicha mechitza shel shasi ve'arev. You have to have both the rope and the reeds for the mechitza. So he's more stringent. So whereas his father Rabbi Yehuda said by a group of travelers of three men they could do Erev out of rope or reed, here Rabbi Yosi holds that even a group of travelers has to have both. A very stringent opinion. What does that mean? Either of shasi, or like which means the reeds, or arev, which is the ropes for this group of travelers. Okay. Now, the Gemara explains like this. What's the difference between the Chachamim that argue on Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim that argue on his son Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? What's the difference? So the difference is as follows. According to the Shaldas where he's shown him, the ones that argue on Rabbi Yehuda, they only permitted an Erev of either rope or reed for an individual. That's only if he's on the road. Compared to a group of travelers that are on the road. Because since he has you can't make a proper mechitza, so they made this heter. But if he's in a settlement, they never gave this heter then. The chacham that acholach and Rabbi Yosi, they hold echad b'shnei dvarim. What does that mean? Whether he's this individual is in public, bein l'rabim ubein l'yachad, whether for a group of travelers of three people or whether for an individual himself. Whether they're on the road, whether they're in the yeshuv, in the settlement, they could always do the rope Erev or the reed Erev. And this is how we paskin, like the most lenient opinion, whether a group of travelers are three people, whether an individual, whether he's on the road, whether he's in a settled place, he could always do either Erev. Okay. Bram, however, Yachad Sheshavas Bibika, an individual that is in a valley, it's not permitted to carry betocha mechitza within the mechitza that he makes around himself, only within a space that is not bigger than two base sasayim, which is like the space of the courtyard of the Mishkan, which was 100 amos in length by 50 amos in width. This is called a base sasayim, which is space of let's see here to plant two saw of grains, which is 5,000 square amos. So this individual, the individual when you're settling in a valley, you can only carry within this mechitza that he makes, a space of 5,000 square amos. So if this individual made his Erev more than 5,000 square amos, even though he has an Erev, he can't carry. He has to make sure the Erev is within the 5,000 square amos range. You can't just make a humongous Erev and then carry, you know, more than 5,000 animals. V'hu adin l'shnayim, even to two people that are settling in a valley, would be the same rule. Aval shlosha, three people or more that are settling in a valley, they're like a group of travelers, and it's permitted for them to carry b'chol mechitza, any mechitza that they make in the valley, you know, kafi adarish l'ham l'tzorach klayim, b'hem to have whatever they need for their utensils and their animals. It could be as big as they want, but you're not limited to the 5,000 square amma limitation. But even with them, they can't have a space which is opened within their mechitza more than 5,000 square amos. Meaning their erev could be bigger than 5,000 square amos when there are three people or more. But they can't have an empty space with nothing there of the amount of 5,000 square amos. That would be prohibited. Okay. Now the Mishnah, and the truth is the Perek will conclude with four things over here. Arba devarim patu b'machna. Four things they exempted in a camp. What does this mean? Here it means a camp that's going out to war. Whether it's a mechames mitzvah, a war for a mitzvah, or whether it's a war for a reshus, meaning it's just there's no obligation to go to war, but they have a war that they have to do anyway. You can have a war that you're obligated to do. We have wars that are just a general war. So there are four things that the rabbis were lenient that these people in the war can do. Number one, Mevi'in Eitz and Mikal Makom, they're permitted to bring wood for firewood or cook from anywhere they want, and there's no problem to be concerned that they're stealing from anybody. Even if it was wood that was, you know, picked and dried up, Tulushim v'yivashim, picked and dried up, because the owners, Shabbaleim Torcha, and you know that the owners of the wood worked very hard to get it, and they wrapped it up in bundles. So the Chachamim said it's permitted for them to take these bundles of wood, because since they're being osik in the war, they said there's no problem of theft over there. The second thing is Peturim Merchitzah Shadayim, they're exempt from washing their hands. So this is referring to Netilas Yadayim from washing for bread. They don't have to wash their hands because they're not supposed to start looking for water because they're osik in the war. And the Gemara explains this is only Mayim Rishonim, washing your hands for bread. But Mayim Achronim, washing your hands before you bench, is an obligation. Why? Because there's a problem. The reason why you're washing your hands is because there's this certain kind of salt that gets stuck on your hands, and they can go into your eyes, and it could blind you, and that could be a sakana. And since it's a sakana, there they were stringent, and therefore, for the Mayim Achronim, they still have to get water to wash their hands. What they did is they used to dip their fingers into salt, you know, after they would eat. Like the Chachamim say, Achar kol achilascha achal melach. But after you're done eating, you're supposed to eat salt. This is what's brought down. So they dip their fingers in salt. And therefore, you should always have water available, because the salt was the salt from Sodom, and it could blind someone if it goes in the eyes. They said, make sure that you have water to wash your hands, so you don't get the salt in your eyes. So they'd eat their meal, and they're supposed to dip their achar kol achilascha achal melach. After, whenever you eat a food, you should eat salt for hygienic purpose or whatever it is. Once you're eating that salt, your fingers get dirty. If you put your fingers in your eyes, it could blind you. If it's salt from Sodom, so they would dip their fingers into water to wash them off. And since this is a sakana, it's very, very dangerous. They said even when you're at war, there's no, you know, room for leniency, and make sure you have to wash your hands. Though they do bring down over here from Tosfos that since nowadays, you know, Achshav lo nahagu b'mayim achronim l'fi she'en melech Sodom matzu b'yameinu. Tosfos just points out that nowadays, he says, we're not knowing to do this Mayim Achronim, either because there's no, you know, salt from Sodom around, or because people aren't, you know, really accustomed to dipping their fingers into salt, so it wouldn't be so applicable. Lamaisa, a lot of people will still do Mayim Achronim anyways, so you could just check with your local halachic authority, you know, whether this is done or not. The third thing is umi demai from demai, that demai is tavua, grains that was purchased from an am aretz who doesn't know the laws of meiser. So for a suffix, because of doubt, we still have to give off meiser, and we call that demai. Da-mai, what is this? Meaning we don't know what to do, we give off meiser. But if these warriors got demai, when they're at battle, they don't have to separate the meiser because they're at battle. Since the whole thing is a suffix to begin with anyway, you know, you don't know whether the Am Haaretz took off the Meiser or not. So when you're in war, you don't have to bother with it. You can just eat it as is without separating Meiser. And then the last thing is Mila Arev for making an Erev. They exempt them from making an Erev Chatzeros. Meaning, after they surrounded the camp with a mechitza tent tefachim tall, they're permitted to carry from an oel to an oel, and from a tent to a tent, from a tent to the camp, without an erev chatzeros, without the erev of combining all the courtyards. However, an erev of techumim, an erev for the borders, that they're obligated to do, because on the prohibition of borders of techumim, there's a support from the pasuk that would make it more stringent, like on a Torah level, and therefore they were stringent on the erev techumim, the erev to how far you can walk within the border, that is still required, but the erev of the chatzeros, the erev for the courtyards to carry from one courtyard to another, that they were lenient on, and these are the four things. So this concludes Parak Aleph Mishnah Yud, and then tomorrow we'll begin the new Parak Beis.